Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever, wherever you are listening to this podcast, affectionately known as Pomcast. This is episode 10, and I'm of course joined by Alex, who is joined with 56 boxes of what is not KuperCon loot. Care to fill us in?
I thought it was 57. Is it 56?
I don't know. It's 50-something.
Oh. You're referring to my IKEA order.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. No, I don't really want to fill in. I just, we're moving into a new house, just a bunch of stuff. Have you ever been to an IKEA?
Once.
Okay, so it's basically just like this, well, it's just, you could spend a lifetime in them. We ordered some stuff online. I won't lie, by the time we'd finished, it came to about $3,000. And the boxes start turning up, and I was like, holy shit. So, yeah, I've got a busy few days ahead. Well, it's all for the new house, and right now that's not ready, you know.
And that's because, just in time for that.
Because everyone's stuff. Incompetent. But it's all good.
Whatever you say. So, what was I going to say? How are you now, anyway? You've completely moved on from Pomathon, or is it still lingering there and biting at you?
I'm still paying my counsellor like I do all the time, but no, I mean, I've moved on. I mean, it's a case of having to, you know?
Yeah.
Can't really ignore the fact that 10 weeks from now, we're going to be in Toronto. And then is it about 6 weeks after that, or is it 8 weeks?
Gosh, it would be probably around seven or eight weeks. We're not even 2 months at that point.
All right, don't rub it in. Then we're in Glasgow. And before you know it, I'll be back over here for my own, my own convention that I'm working on. And then before we know it, we're back out into New Jersey. And then we're going to the UK again, which was recently announced. Project X, September 21st.
Yep, correct. And, we do so many events.
It has reached a stage now where I can't remember what they're called or what the date is. So if I ever like awkwardly pause during a stream or something, that's why. I actually have to go and check the date of my own event.
We don't make the names much easier by having recurring themes in it, no doubt. But
we roll.
That's it.
What else? And then we got Project Bastok after that, and then we've got Project Dawn Shard, which I'm not even going there. The two biggest announcements, I guess, that have come out recently is all the bigger POM details, and then alongside that, we've had the announcement of Project X and the date. A lot of people are wondering where we're going in London. I'm wondering if we should drop a little hint.
Oh, let's see.
I guess I could suggest the location in London.
Well, no. Don't drop a hint.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay. I won't.
Sorted.
So thank you for joining us for Pomcast 10. Yeah. No, it's cool. So, it's been 2 weeks since we've done this. And actually, for the first time in a long time, there's been a fair bit of franchise news. I don't know how much you've kind of kept your finger on the buzzer. There's a few things that kind of caught my attention. One was the fact that it was like a day or two after I got back from Pomathon. I was sat having a chat with Dan. It was the day after Pomathon. And I was talking about, it's kind of surprising that Square haven't... looked at the Switch and really pushed on that. I mean, there's been Octopath and Lost Sphere, but those are not, they're from other studios. And he's like, it's coming. And then boom, like literally they've just announced like a handful of Final Fantasy titles that are coming to the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you would have seen the massive shit uproar about the fact that Final Fantasy VIII
yes,
was
I have
ignored.
Seen that.
Now, what's interesting, and unfortunately, I cannot say very much on this, but I do know the reason why. I actually know the reason why. And okay. I know everyone out there is going to go, yeah, sure he does. He's just saying that. I actually know why. And it frustrates me to hell when I see comments from people I mean, assuming the information I have is correct, trust me, it came from a bloody reliable source, that you know, they'll say, oh, it's because they lost the source code, or it's because they don't like 8, or this, that, they can't get the licensing for this or that. Just shut up. I want to, I love 8. I'd love to see 8, revamped a tad and put out there. But for reasons of lack of satisfaction, it has not surfaced yet. Give it time.
Okay. Give it time.
But 7, 9, 10, 10, 2, 12, Chocobo Dungeon, I think is it Chocobo Mystery Dungeon, isn't it?
Yes, that's the name.
Which is a remake of, Chocobo Mystery Dungeon. and then there's World of Final Fantasy. I think they're calling this the Maxima version.
Yes, which I saw that, actually.
Have you played? I know you've got it. Okay, we know this story. Move on. I'll probably pick up a lot of these tiles. A few of them are coming to physical releases. 12 is going to be a physical release. Some of them are coming to the PS4 and the Xbox as well. So, yeah, it was a nice surprise. Did you see there was a Square stream the other day? It was in the early hours.
I do know, because I think somebody was posting up about it. There's a lot of discussion on 15... I believe they haven't caught much of it.
Yeah, there was, but not really. It was all crossover stuff. A lot of people were very disappointed.
I see.
And apparently there was a moment where they're like, yeah, we've been working on a standalone version of Comrades, as you know. Well, it's delayed.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah, that sounds like our good old SE. So, yeah, that was a bit of a whatever. I mean, to be honest with you, at this stage, people shouldn't really be that surprised. So just kind of roll with the punches. We all know that everything's going into Kingdom Hearts right now.
That's it. It's 4 months from the release date now.
It's very, very close to the WePOM. And a lot of people have been asking, can we have some Kingdom Hearts content at the WePOM? And as I've mentioned before, Disney are like the... They are like the fires of God when it comes to copyright and things like that. So, there's no reason why we can't celebrate the series. So we'll definitely try and incorporate some Kingdom Hearts stuff into the event. There's no, there's no reason why we can't do that.
That's it. I mean, the thing is, while Disney have quite a hold in it, they're not. It's more if we were to try and incorporate that into Disney characters, especially. That's kind of a bigger issue,
If we started sticking Kingdom Hearts characters in Tripom, we might start to run into issues.
Yeah. But certainly, I think it's similarly, people kind of worry, can I go, cosplaying as a Kingdom Hearts character? It's going to be welcome here.
Absolutely. Totally. Absolutely welcome. I mean, if Ash Ketchum can turn up at Toronto, you can turn up in Kingdom Hearts.
I think we'd Power Rangers too.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever. Roll with it. the WePOM will come around when it decides to. Yeah, and the only other piece of news, which is, it's sad, which was the announcement that Nobu had taken a backseat there. Now, again, it's very easy to jump on the bandwagon and make assumptions. The blog post was not very specific, so naturally we all wish him the best of health, and we'll just kind of watch this space,
Of course. I mean, you've had the honor of meeting him himself.
Well, I noticed some posts are just like, basically like they're like practically like RIP. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know the specifics, and obviously, just chill out. So the amount of twisting of stuff is unbelievable. Like, I don't know what the specifics are, and there's very little information to go on right now. So we
sit
offer
back and
our
just
best
wait
wishes and we sit back and wait. So, yeah,
because that's how rumors spread, isn't it?
Exactly. That's where it all starts to go down the shitter. That's the official response. But from news perspective, those are the things that really have been, stuck in my mind anyway. From a KoopaCon perspective, what's been happening? You tell me. Well, let me rest my voice.
Well, I mean, I was going to say earlier we were talking about different events coming up, but we're mentioning obviously Toronto's coming up first. And the difference between Toronto and any other previous event is not just the next one in line, it is the start of Generation 3. And I mean, at that point, yeah, well, what kind of noise is that supposed to have been?
It's a...
Was it?
It's a...
Oh, boy, or...
It's a... No, it's a... It means a lot of work. You know, when you change generation, there's a lot you got to put into it.
I mean, I think if there are people who have been to both Generation 1 and Generation 2 events, they can tell you the changeover that takes place and see how noticeable it is. I mean, for goodness sake, take the tri-pram, for instance, the amount of things we've changed and switched over with that alone. And I mean, it that continually goes on as well anyway. I mean, people ask about that quite often. About the general process of tri-pom, how do we decide this, how do we decide that, and what does Gen 3 mean? People ask, you know, do we have to go collecting all the new cards again to enter tri-pom tournaments? Do we need to catch highlight bars, everything? It goes on and on. There's so many different things.
We got like an hour for me to explain it all. Okay, so first thing that people need to realize is this. Everything is special edition. Just whack SE on it, special edition. The first thing that people need to realize is that when we came up with the idea of KoopaCon, let me rephrase and take a bit of glory here. When I came up with the idea of KoopaCon, I didn't know what the future was going to hold. So when I came up with the tri-pom idea, I just picked 50 characters that I thought were fairly high up there in relevance. I knew I couldn't get everyone. I wanted to have some of the kind of mid-ground characters, but I wanted to get a lot of the major ones. When the event was very successful after two events, it was clear that I wanted to do this more and continue it. So then we looked at filling gaps. And we introduced more cards, but that was when we decided to make them double-sided, which naturally complicated things. But it was definitely the right move. Then when we hit Generation 3, we wanted to expand on what we already had, keep the design the same, make a few minor alterations. So one of the things that we were discussing earlier is now we're going to stop referring to cards by generation. We'll refer to the character by generation when we're referring to when the card was introduced or that character was introduced. But from now on, we will refer to the cards as original gen and current gen. So the current generation of tri-pom is the double-sided. The original gen of tri-pom is the single-sided. And that's how you're going to hear us refer to it. In fact, in the new quest log, that's how we outline it. But the process of taking a character from a text box to creating a tri-pom card is quite a long process. If you recall, me and you were going through the tri-pom cards for Generation 3. God, when was that?
Oh, yes. That was one morning back in... I remember we had a bit of a gap. So I kind of feel like it was before Promptropolis, yet...
It was before Promptropolis, I think. Or maybe it was around there. No, but I think it was before that. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, the thing is that there is a lot of. I mean, you could realistically go into the 300-500s of cards, and you'd still have major characters that you could include. So it's a challenge, but basically we provide Wave with a list. She produces. Then we argue about eye color and hair color and a billion other things. Generation 3 was a real challenge, I think. Because what we're doing is we're introducing a lot more of the earlier characters, which unfortunately leaves you wide open to interpretation.
Yes, and I'll take an opportunity just to give people a little insight. I feel like we might have mentioned this already.
We did mention this, we did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bart's was one of the longest ones that didn't work out. So I don't know if that's been mentioned in the past, but that's one card still coming up soon. But that was a long one. So anyhow, continue.
Now, Bartz is the, if I remember rightly, he's the guy with the shoulder thing. Bartz is from Final Fantasy V.
Yes.
He is the one who has that kind of that gold, like a wing on his arm.
It's kind of a pauldron of sorts and thing. I know the one.
Okay, so here's the thing. I can tell you that I actually pulled that card. It's not in there.
Okay.
I was so frustrated with it that I decided not to include it in Generation 3.
Okay.
Surprise. It is. There's only two or three cards that I pulled from Generation 3 because I wasn't satisfied with them. It's nothing to do with Wave's ability or anything like that. It was just the interpretation I felt didn't work for what I wanted. So another card that I pulled, Knights of the Round. I wasn't satisfied with it, so I pulled that one as well. And it just comes down to, like, there was a few other cards that we were going to pull, but after modifying them and updating them, that we decided to proceed with them. So Cindy is in there, but was very close to being pulled. Angelo was very close to being pulled, which is now fixed. But Bart's, I felt that the artwork was based on the World of Final Fantasy version. And I didn't feel that the World of Final Fantasy was a good rendition to base a character that is. I wasn't comfortable with it.
See, I know that was it was also used as a freelancer costume in 5, but it's very hard for that to come across naturally because of the graphics back then, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, as I say, it is quite difficult with the earlier stage, the earlier games like that.
But then I'm looking at some artwork now just to remind myself, and I just didn't want to. I had the ability to pull a few cards, so I did, and that was one of the cards I pulled. That doesn't mean it's never going to happen. It just means it'll be pushed to another gen.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the difficult things. Like, people say, well, where's this character? Where's that character? Getting a character from just writing it down in a list to producing it as a tri-pom card is a lengthy process. It is also a very expensive process. We take it very, very seriously. There's about 35 new cards being introduced for Generation 3, I think. I've said this before, I think that Generation 3 will probably be like a 3 and a 3.1. So Glasgow will see some, and then London will see a few more or whatever, right? So, there is some new Limit Break cards going in there. I mentioned Auron already. And what the hey, I'm just going to drop the bomb right now. There's going to be a Limit Break Fran card coming as well.
Okay. And that's as much as I know as well. After that is a mystery.
You've seen the Limit Break Fran card?
I knew about the Limit Break Fran card. But what follows after that?
Now, with Bart's, because it's quite a major character, I may, before we get there, I may slip it back into Gen 3. It's very unlikely at this stage, but we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be held back. There's a lot of really good characters coming, though, so you're not. No one's going to be at a loss right now. But I take the artwork very seriously.
Yeah,
as you know. We want to make sure that it's a good reflection. And not to mention that we have the Artist Series cards coming in now, which offer a completely different take on a character. So there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite exciting.
Yeah, I think we mentioned the last time that we've got Crimson Sun doing the first set.
She is.
And we've had some previews, and so far so good.
Yeah, I've seen about two or three of them.
Nice.
And they are expected to go to print at the beginning of November. Naturally, Pontus, we've been working closely with Pontus on volume 2 of Mog's Art, which is exciting. We also have a new quest log now. I won't share the name of it, but you got to see some of the early images yesterday. What's your take on it?
It's, put it this way, it's just completely different. If you look at what our Gen 2 quest logs are and what the Gen 3 is, you'd almost think you're entering a different event. It's
even when you actually look at, like, Generation 1 and Generation 2 quest logs have quite a few similarities.
They do. Absolutely.
In fact, the actual base of the color book is the same file, but this is completely fresh.
Yeah, completely. Very clean, kind of modern, but yeah, it's very, I'll just say it's rather artistic. I think it's very, very pretty yet clean.
I was quite,
I won't say much more, but it's very good.
So we're going to be following the adventures of a different Moogle this time, I'll say that. There will be different icons to represent different quests. The icons will either tell you if it's something you can accomplish by yourself or if it's something you have to accomplish as a group. There will be premium quests in the quest log that are only open to premium tickets. There'll only be like one or two. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at possibly being able to reward other like premium tickets with different things and stuff. It's kind of like a DLC type thing, you know?
Yeah.
We're definitely going to throw in some kids' quests on a separate postcard at some point. But yeah, things have been actually moving really nicely for Gen 3 so far. And as I've told many people, this is the busiest period. It's the period between now and the first event and then the short period after that when you have to make some adjustments on what worked, what didn't. After that, we're plain sailing.
That's it. Now, speaking of the quest log there, I've had this this little idea that came to mind a little while ago, and I'm going to mention the podcast here just to double up with some feedback because I think it's pretty harmless. So, you know how, you know, we have our quests and whatnot, and there's always something to do at KoopaCon. So even little things like doing word searches and whatnot, they're going to reward you. So you kind of wonder, when are you in a position when you're not doing something or when you haven't got a chance to do something? And thought, well, sometimes maybe people are quite tired, so they might go into the next event in the theater and they sit there, you know, 15, 20 minutes before it begins, or kind of more to the point, if somebody's queuing to get a signing, for example, they might be by themselves and they might want something to kind of occupy their time. So I figured perhaps I could throw in something like, we can do some form of, not necessarily a quest, but let's say, for example, and it's the first thing that kind of comes to mind, if I chew in some like riddles, like some part of the quest log, and people can try work them out and they can try solve them, and they can, you know, anything they get correct, they can claim in the kiosk or about, you know, 10 gil or whatever.
Like I just inside thought the quest, yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah,
I just thought something that people can maybe do something to, if they have some minutes to kill, especially something like side queuing up for signings, and they can just fill in what they think it could be and, you know, get a bit of a reward out of that as well. Keeps their mind engaged all day long. So
I like that.
Just something.
Well, even if I didn't like it, if everyone said they liked it, I'm shit out of luck now, aren't I?
Oh, I chew you in that one.
The gil went to print, which is good. But yeah, really, that's nice. About all I can think off the top of my head. We have a few. We're working on guest announcements. We're working on reworking the Tripomp tournament a little bit. We're looking at some new merchandise. It's just, it's all, there's a constant flow at the moment. It's been quite busy, which is good, which is healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can't complain on that front. I'm looking forward to returning to Toronto. Toronto is a great city. Just to be clear, not going back to Toronto next year. Already have plans. So that's not going to happen. In fact, actually, we're already, like, we have penciled dates for as far as the winter of next year. So, yeah, it's a definite no-no. It's just an incredible, it's ridiculous how we even get here, really. Whatever, we're here, we'll keep pushing. Did you have an opportunity to take in all the photographs from Pomathon now? Like, did you see the photo booth that Tony did? They were good. They were really good.
They came out quite nicely, I have to say. There's a lot of humorous photos in it, a lot of really pretty ones. My face is a little wild in some of them, but that's the no sleep and caffeine getting to me.
So
really good one where I think I'm just looking straight into the camera and you have this... You gave me a little cheeky kiss on the cheek.
And it was a good one.
I'm surprised I'm not completely red in it, but you know,
faces all calm. It was just a bloody good time.
It was.
And that's why I'm excited to, you know, come to Toronto to take some inspiration from what we did at Pomathon. I guess the time when we're really going to take inspiration from Pomathon is when we go to New Jersey. Because we're going to be hosting the Crystal Ball there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Absolutely.
And the artwork is just boom, isn't it? It's phenomenal. Jolyn did so good.
I think it's rather reflective of the change we have lately. I mean, when I think about the quest log changes and the art as well,
we are going in a different direction.
Absolutely.
Everything is changing. but in a good way.
Yeah.
You're going to notice a lot of subtle changes going forward. And I think, yeah, I think you're going to like the changes that are coming.
So just one other thing that comes to mind, just when you mentioned Palmathon, I haven't actually done it on the group page, but I'm still, one thing I'm looking for is I still need to try find video footage of me being carried to the stage in the evening event by...
I think I have some.
That's an appeal going out. If you haven't got anything, then that's an appeal to people listening. but you know, just while I'm addressing to you listeners right now, just when you were talking about the process of Tri-Fam, Alex, it comes to mind that if you or listeners have any questions that you want to know a little more about KoopaCon or how we do things or whatever else comes to mind, feel free to comment in there. The post when we put this podcast up, and then we'll do our best to address whatever we can in the next episode. It makes for a nice discussion.
We didn't really explain the Tri-Pom at all, to be honest with you. We kind of just like said it's difficult and skirted over it. But yeah, in short, we make a list, we give it to Wave. Wave tells us the reason why we've missed out a bunch of characters that she insists that we have. We rewrite the list, send it back to her. She then sends us sketches. We look at the sketches. We approve the sketches. She then sends back line art, black inked line. And then we go, yep, great, or no, adjust. She then paints them, sends them back to us. We then remove them from her template, put them onto the Tri-Pom card. We then will decide on the numbering, whether it's a standard card, a silver card, a metal card, a limit break card. We have a certain criteria for it to have to match each metal, like it has to add up to a certain number. Mm-hmm. And then we place the artwork as best we can. If we have any concerns or questions, then we'll do a test print. But usually at that point, that's when we order them. So that's the process. And the process takes probably somewhere between 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, it's a long one, but it comes out well.
Sorry for the interruption there, but I just thought it was actually probably worth actually explaining it. But yeah. We totally welcome questions. If you have a question, ask. If I don't want to answer it, I won't.
But do ask anyway. We'll have a few up, and we'll do our best to get to whatever we can of it. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have to mention today, to be honest. There's one thing I'll throw out real briefly as well, because I know we mentioned it at a previous podcast, but and the plans are there anyway, but we do still intend to run a charity stream of our own at some point.
Ooh, right, so, I need to talk to you about that.
We'll discuss the details.
There was something that came up yesterday. Someone came to us with an idea of doing a charity event, and I said, well, we were going to do this, and they was like, oh, that sounds cool, can we do it together? I said, okay. So yeah, this is the point where my voice begins to trail out very slowly because the episode's over, because we're going to talk about something.
Yeah. And we can't feel it, I'm afraid. Oh well, tune in next time.